It feels like we've known Marjanine a long time, and it's a few years now. We first met them, I think, in 2012 when we went to Bethel in America. And as you know, Andy and I came back really different, and God did something in us. And we've been journeying and meeting at different places ever since. And it's been a real privilege. They used to lead a church in Leicester called All Nations, which is an amazing building in itself, let alone the amazing people that are there. And we've been down there a few times. If you remember last year in February, we went to a prophetic conference, and out of the 400 people that were there, Andy and I got picked out, which was a bit scary. And we're still living on that word and praying into it. So welcome, Marjanine. Do you want to come on out and I'll pray for you both? You both speaking or just Ian? I can still pray for you much. Okay. Marge is very prophetic, so watch out. Yeah. Oh, Father, we just bless you for our brother Ian and our sister Marge. I thank you that they've been so loving and caring and willing to journey with Andy and I and the leadership team. And we bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus today, that everything they give out, you would give back to them twice and a hundredfold, pressed down and overflowing. Yeah. And we thank you for the amazing blessing that they are being to many churches as they travel all over the UK and abroad as well. Yeah. So welcome thanks, Ian and Marge, thanks, this morning. And we just pray that you would anoint his words to us, that they would speak to our hearts, yeah, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sue. That is so great. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you again. And I never went through my notes with Marge today, so she really doesn't have much of a clue as to what I felt the Lord had shared with me to speak with you about. And this is one of the joys of traveling with a prophet, is that she really sees things that I didn't talk through her with her about. And so when she brought that word just then about God wanting to upgrade, that is the very thing that is in my heart. It's like, boom, bullseye. God wants to upgrade us all into the fullness of all that he's intended for in Christ Jesus. And I don't know, perhaps you guys have been upgraded on a flight or upgraded in a hotel room, but it's another experience. And that time that Marge was talking about, it was actually at Amsterdam. We had flown from Birmingham to Amsterdam. Then we were taking a flight to Chicago. And Marge had never been to business class before. I had been upgraded. But this was our first time together and the first time for Marge. And it's another world, because it was on a Boeing 747. So it was upstairs. So you go up the stairs. And it's upstairs and it's a world of linen napkins and china plates and proper metal cutlery and a menu. Yes, so Marge is just open mouthed. You know, this lass from Yorkshire. It's like, by it, lad, look at this. So, being given the menu and see what we've got coming up, and it's. The waitress comes along, or the stewardess, that's what we call them, isn't it? Stewardess, would you like champagne or orange? A margin of mine is going, what do you think? She had the champagne, by the way. And so it's a completely different experience. Marge also discovered the button on the console that gave you a free massage. By the time we got to Chicago, I think that was probably worn out, because she kept on pressing it for another massage on the plane. And this is experiences that you don't normally have in economy class. And Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't come that we might have existence, but that we might have life. And this life is found in Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to do is just to take you through a little bit of a journey in John's Gospel so that you can see what he has come to give us. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you please turn with me to John chapter 5? This is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's gone to Jerusalem and healed a man at the sheep gate. And then he starts talking to them in the temple. And Jesus' ministry was mostly up in the north. I'm sure you guys would like appreciate that. He's a northerner. And then he went down to Jerusalem to visit every so often. And this was one of those visits. So John chapter 5, verse 19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Jesus is aware of his identity as a son. This sets him apart from so much of what takes place in church environments in our day, where people get identities from function. Identities from positions of responsibility. Oh, I am the pastor. Now, I want to honor pastors, and I have nothing against, but Jesus' identity was not in the fact that he was a pastor, even though he was the chief shepherd. His delight was that he was a son, and that he was a son to his Father. And the things that we become appreciative about in our church cultures, Jesus didn't buy into any of that, because his delight was a relationship of the heart of intimacy with his Father. And he called his Father Abba. In English, we would say Papa. It's the word that a child would very often first say, Dada. And this is the word that Jesus used of his heavenly Father. This is a word of intimacy. This is a word of heart connection. This is a word of belonging in relationship to somebody who is well known. And it was such a shock to the people he was speaking to, who were operating in really an economy class mentality. Because the Jews of Jesus' time were so much in fear of taking the name of the Lord their God in vain, that they didn't even refer to God by his name. They referred to the Father as Hashem, which means the name. Now, for you that are fathers and mothers here, wouldn't it just be awful if your children referred to you as the name? It indicates no relationship. It indicates a sense of disconnection, of lack of intimacy. And this was the economy class syndrome that the Jews of Jesus' time had. It was a religious way of life, of doing things by ritual without any connection of the heart. And Jesus comes along and scandalizes them, because not only does he call him Father, but he calls him Abba. And for the Jews of Jesus' time, this is fighting talk, because they are realizing that Jesus is making himself on an equal footing with his Father. This is an equal relationship with his Father. And so they were thinking it was utterly blasphemous, and took to pick up stones to stone him. And yet Jesus came, the Son of God, became a son of man, so that the sons of men may be sons of God. He came down to our level, became like one of us. If he walked in the street, there was no distinguishing marks of him floating off the ground or wearing a halo or anything like that. He became exactly like one of us. He became flesh and blood. He took completely on our humanity. If he walked in a room, there would be no superficial distinguishing mark. He looked like one of us, and yet he was the Son of God. And in living the life that he did, he demonstrated to us how that we could live not just economy life, but upgraded lives to be sons of God. I'd like you to turn with me later in the book of John to John chapter 14. And this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. What I just read was at the beginning. This is at the end of Jesus' ministry. And the context of this is after 3.5 years, he'd been with his disciples, he had been sharing his heart with them, and in John 14, he is meeting to have the Last Supper in the upper room. And because he's so faithful, he is still talking about his Father. He doesn't change his message. After 3.5 years, his message is just the same. So we'll just pick it up here in John 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's still talking about relationship with the Father. And it's not that he only wants to have a relationship with the Father, but he wants everybody else to have their connection to the Father, the one who had the first thoughts about them, the one who created them, the one who initiated life towards them. Jesus says, it's just not enough that I have a relationship with him. I want you to have a relationship with him too. And everybody comes to the Father through me. I am the way to the connection to the Father. So after 3.5 years, he's still talking about his Father. His identity is the fact that he's still a son. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And they are utterly perplexed about what he's saying. How is it that we know the Father? We know you, but how is it that we know the Father? And then Jesus unwraps this in the context of this intimate meal setting with his apostles, the people that he had shared life with. This is what he says to them. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Now this is stunning. Because all along, it's not just been Jesus that's been doing this stuff. It's been the Father who's been living in Jesus that has been speaking his words and doing his works. And Jesus did not depend upon the glory of his deity to do the things he did. I'm not saying he wasn't God, by the way. I'm not saying that. But Philippians 2 says that he divested himself of his glory and became a man. And the things that he did as a man under the power of the Spirit with God living in him. He didn't do them on the basis of his deity. If he did them on the basis of his deity, then he can no longer be our example. because he's God and he's got an inside track that we haven't got. But he divested himself of the glory of his deity, took on humanity, and God lived in him, and the Holy Spirit anointed him, and the things that he did as a man under the power of the Spirit and with the indwelling of the Father inside of him. And he's showing his disciples what it looks like to live an upgraded life, that he lived with consciousness of God inside of him. Back at Christmas, just a few months ago, we celebrated the incarnation. Incarne. In flesh. God in flesh. Emmanuel. God with us. And then Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So how did the Father send Jesus? He sent him by living in him. How does Jesus send us? He sends us by living in us. The Apostle Paul would say it this way: it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life that I live, Galatians 2:20, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so the very phraseology that Jesus uses, don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, is exactly the same phraseology that he takes a while to open up to the disciples in this upper room discourse from John 15. And he uses the vine and he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you. Because his intent is that as the Father sent him by abiding in him, he sends us by abiding in us. And it's not about us seeking to try harder. It's about us living closer with the person inside of us. Christianity is not about adherence to a list of rules and regulations. It's about a living relationship with the Jesus inside of us. And Jesus this morning is wanting to live his life in us and through us in another dimension than he's done before. He wants us to live aware of him living in us. He wants to live in us, to live through us, and to express his love and his life to the people around us. I think this is stunning, that the likes of me, who was rebellious to him, who was resistant, his grace and his love melted my heart. And he doesn't just say, well, because you were so rebellious and because you were so resistant, you can live your life and I'll receive you in heaven when the end is done. No, he says, even though you were so messed up and even though you were so hardened in your heart, I am going to show my glory in you, that I'm going to live in you, I'm going to dwell in you, I'm going to represent myself through you, I am going to demonstrate my kindness through you, that other people might experience it. I am going to show up and show off in your life. I'm going to give you an upgraded life. And Jesus' desire is to show up in you and to show off through you. He wants to show the people around you how kind and good and gracious he is. And his desire is to do it in you and through you. And economy class life is, well, keep your head down and just do what is necessary. I'll go along to the meetings. I'll even go along to the prayer meeting. I'll go along when I need to do, I'll do my duty. That's economy class. The prophetic word of the Lord this morning is, he wants to upgrade us, because it's not about me just doing the minimum. It's about me living to the maximum of Jesus living in me and Jesus living through me. And he's coming this morning and saying, I'd like your economy class ticket, please. I'd like your inferior thinking that you thought it was all about just doing the minimum or just doing what was necessary. And he's saying, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want to so fill your hearts and lives. I want to so come close to you that you become so overwhelmed with me that all you can do is leak me to the people around you. That you overflow with my goodness and kindness to those around you. And the Father is looking for his sons to believe what Jesus says, so that the sons of men might be the sons of God. Not when we die, not when we go to heaven, but right now on this earth. There's a verse that I think is so powerful in Romans 8, where it says, the whole of creation is waiting. What is the creation waiting for? It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is in bondage. It's the sons of God that have come into their true identity, into their true liberty of life in the Spirit, their true understanding of who they are. These are the people that are to liberate the world. And I have not got anything against the politicians, but it's not going to be the politicians that's going to liberate the world. It's not going to be the economists that are going to release the world, even though I've got nothing against economists and I value what they do. But what this creative order is waiting for, what the world is on tiptoe, as J.P. Phillips says in his translation, what it's expecting is, it's the revealing of the sons of God. And I'm here to say to you today, if you've been called by God and redeemed by his blood, your destiny is to live as a mature son that carries the nature of Jesus to the world around you, because the world is looking for where are the answers. And I'm absolutely convinced that according to Scripture, Ephesians 3 verse 10, it's now through the church the manifold wisdom of God is going to be revealed to the principalities and powers and to every other viewing eyes around. It's going to be through people like you and I, who once were sinners, but we are no longer sinners, because by his blood we've been made saints and sons that demonstrate his heart and his nature. And don't allow any preacher to cause you to settle for economy class. Don't allow any demon speaking, whispering into your heart and mind that, yeah, keep your head under the parapet. Just glad that you're going to heaven. Don't make a song and dance about it. Don't let any demonic strategy keep you from being less than the glorious sons God intended you to be. Hand in your economy class, that you might receive your upgrade to come into a realm where it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. This is your glorious destiny. I think my wife has got something to say.
Justinian talking about upgrade, I really felt as he was speaking that God wants to upgrade you in your experience of him, so that you don't miss him, his kindness. God is the most kindest person ever. And you know, if somebody said, who is God to you, I would say he's kind and he is good. And I just sense that God wants you not to miss his kindness to you, because the more you experience his kindness, the more you can't help but be kind to others. And this world is so crying out for people just to show kindness, to show love. And it's the simple things that God was just reminding me that even when I'm in a crowded car park and I can't find anywhere, and then there's a car parking space, I just go, God, you were so kind to me, you know. And it's the little things. And I pray every morning, I go, Lord, open my eyes to your goodness so I can be thankful in it, because it so changes you that you can't help. And even the small acts of kindness to people, because it's his kindness, because you've experienced it, it just transforms them, it touches them, it makes them hungry for that kindness and will set them on a journey. We found that sometimes we're just the end of somebody's journey because somebody years ago showed them the kindness of God, and it made them hungry for that kind of kindness, even though they didn't know it was God at the time. So for me, I just feel God is saying he wants to upgrade you in your experience of his goodness and his kindness so that you can be that to others.
Wonderful. Thank you. Shall we stand in his presence? It was his kindness that came to you where you were. Even though you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he wasn't put off by your sins or mine, but he came to you where you were. For me, he came to a place where most people wouldn't go. Why would they go to a coal mining valley in South Wales? To meet a child that was not from a family of any consequence at all, whose dad was a coal miner, whose mum was a factory worker, but he saw me. And he's seen you and loved you from eternity past. He's drawn near to you and he has opened your heart to receive him. And he's here again this morning because he's not wanting you to remain in any way inferior about yourself or about what the enemy says about you. He's wanting to bring you into the glory of the fullness of the stature of his precious Son, Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of his Son. So let's just open our hearts in his presence. Lord, I thank you for your amazing, incredible love for your precious people in this room right now. I thank you for your kindness to them over many years, even though at first they didn't know you. Your kindness was toward them, and it was your kindness that brought them to repentance. Thank you that your kindness is across this gathering this morning, that you are wooing us because you're such a beautiful groom that woos his bride until we come to the glory and the beauty of the stature that belongs to you. And today we just ask for a handing in of economy class thinking, practices, and actions. And as you draw near to us and remind us that our destiny is to be like Jesus, we just ask for an upgrade all around this room into the fullness of the stature, and that for these people, let it be their portion that for them to live is Christ, to die is gain, that they may live in the reality that it's Christ who lives in them. And Father, I just ask that through their lives, Chester and the surrounding region might experience how good and kind and gracious and faithful you are as you demonstrate your life, Jesus, in them and through them, for your honor and glory. We give you thanks. Amen.
Let's just remain standing if we're able to, just for a few more moments. And again, I want to encourage you just to put your hands out in front of you if you're able to do that, if you want to join me in doing that, just as an act of saying, Lord, I want to receive from you this morning. So symbolically wanting to open up our lives and our hearts to the goodness and kindness of God. So we'd love to pray with people this morning, and I want to do it this way, particularly around the goodness and the kindness of God. Maybe those are the two areas that you are, maybe you're struggling to experience the kindness of God. Maybe it feels like in your life, it's like stuff is going on that is, it's really hard to see the goodness and kindness of God in what's going on in your life. Or maybe you do want that upgrade just in terms of your thinking, to be renewed in the thinking of your mind. This morning, and if you want to respond for prayer, then I want to ask you to just to stay standing. And if that's not you this morning, and you just think actually I'm not where I'm at, then just take a seat for a second. But those of you who want prayer, somebody to pray with this morning, just stay standing for a few moments. So I want to thank you for standing. Thank you for being vulnerable in that place. And I just want to ask one or two people who have stood around these individuals just to go and stand with them. Just to get alongside them, just in these moments so they're not standing for too long on their own, because they've made a vulnerable stand. That means some people have to move out of your seat just to go and stand next to them. Don't get into conversation too much with them about why they're standing, because the Lord knows why they're standing. And what you're going to do is just stand alongside them and pray God's blessing. And just to pray for His Holy Spirit to come alongside that person. Just begin to pray for them. Just pray blessing. Pray. A good prayer to pray is more. More of you, Holy Spirit, in this person's life. Renew their thinking. Just, you've been listening to what's been said. Just start praying for that individual as they're stood there in these moments. Just come, Holy Spirit, for every person who's standing right now. Open up their hearts and their minds and their thinking to you and your kindness. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And repentance is about changing the way that we think. And God just wants to change the way you think this morning, that about yourself and perhaps about God Himself and His character and His nature.
Breath of God, breathe on me.
for those of you are standing, if I could just encourage you that if you are finding it, like Andy said, hard to see his goodness or his kindness. A couple of years ago, I went through a really traumatic, quite a few months, and the pressure was just enormous to me. And I began to lose sight of God, and he said to me, start thanking me. And there was so little at the time, I thought, but it changed me before it changed my circumstances. And I just felt God saying, start thanking me. And it was things like, I woke up in the morning, I said, thank you, God, I'm still alive. Thank you for life. Thank you for the clean sheets. Thank you for toothpaste. Because my life was so pressured, it was these little things were the only things I could think, okay, I thank him, I can afford toothpaste. But it went on, and it did not change the circumstances, but it changed me, and it changed the way I saw him. And I just sense for you people that have been so vulnerable and honest to stand, he's saying, start thanking me, even for the little things, that I've got clothes on my back today. And just genuinely thank him. And he's going to open your eyes even more to his goodness and his kindness. And you are going to so see him differently. And it's going to change you. And then it's going to change your circumstances. So, Father, I just ask that you would open these precious sons and daughters of yours. You would open their eyes to your goodness. That they would, you would open their eyes for them to thank you for the little things. For the cups of coffee, the cups of tea. I thank you, Father, that you are a good God, that you love these people. You know their name. Their names are written in the palm of their hands. Their names were on your heart, Jesus, when you went to the cross for them. And so, Father, I just ask that they would see you, that they would have that upgrade and go higher to see you from a different perspective as they just come into thankfulness and experience who you really are to them. In Jesus' name, I bless you to experience his goodness and for your eyes to be open to his kindness. In Jesus' name.
Why don't we all stand together, and we're going to sing this song, and just uses that expression of thanks, of praise, and of receiving from God together.
Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. Yes, I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe
Father, thank you so much for our time together this morning, for your word and words that you have spoken into our hearts, into our lives, Lord. And as we go from this place this morning, Lord, we are praying that you would send us out, that we would have that sense of being sent by you into this week ahead. And there's that phrase that Ian mentioned, that God, you would be working in us and through us, that you would show up in us and show off through us in the week ahead, Lord, in the different contexts of work, life, family, volunteering work, all this stuff that we'll be involved in this week. We thank you that wherever our feet go, you go with us. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just to say, Ian and Marge will be available to pray for people if you would like them to pray for you specifically. If you'd like somebody particularly, we'd love to pray around the area of healing, physical healing or emotional healing. If that's for you and you'd like somebody just to pray with you, lay hands on you in that scenario, then take the opportunity while we're together this morning to do that. I noticed the guys slipped out, so bless them. We're going to have refreshments.